Well, how's everyone doing this morning? You guys ready for the Christmas holiday? Yes. How many of you are just dreading it? Can't wait to be over? Some of you? Amen. I know. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to hate Christmas as long as you don't hate Jesus. I mean, come on. It's okay. But today we're going to get into the Christmas spirit. We usually in churches everywhere now get into the Christmas story and all these beautiful Christmas verses, words like the ones we have on the wall, hope, joy, love, peace, all of that is great. I promise you today we're going to tie in this Christmas message, but with a not-so-Christmas story. Would you guys let me do that today? Today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. I'm not going to tell you yet until we read this story. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. And in reverence to the Word of God, can you all just stand as we read this together? Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. The Word of God says this: at Hopa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. I know that's a crazy name, but which is interesting for anyone that thinks disciples were always men, this proves you wrong. All right, ladies, say, yeah! So at Hopa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. She was charitable with her deeds, which she did. But it happened. Say that with me. Say, it happened. Let me ask you this question. What has happened to you this year? You thinking about it? It can't be as bad as what she's going through because she died. You're still alive, meaning there's still a plan for your life today. Praise God for that. Verse 37, but it happened in those days that she became sick and she died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Notice, and since Lydia was near Hopa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. Notice this. He put them all out. He knelt down and he prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Hopa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Hopa with Simon the tanner. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Father, as we go into this word, I pray this morning that you will speak to someone's heart here, whether here physically or online right now. I pray, Lord, that you would just show us what it is we need to know today. Use me today to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You guys can have a seat. As we get into the Word of God today, I want to speak to you on the subject, don't stress it. Don't stress it. Come on, say it with me. Don't stress it. Turn to one neighbor there and just tell them, don't stress it. Turn to that other neighbor you don't like as much, you know, because you went with the other one first, and tell them, hey, don't stress it. All right, don't stress it. How many of you can say, Pastor, I'm under some stress? You know all of you are. Two hands are up. If you live in Miami, we're all about stress. We love it. We live off it. You know what? When you leave Miami and you go somewhere quiet and peaceful, you start missing home because you're used to the stressfulness of life. We complain about it all the time, but then we're quick to just get used to it. All of us here can say right now, there is some level of stress in your life. All of us here can say right now, there's something in your life that right now you're stressed about. Amen? See, stress is so damaging. Especially now during the holidays, there's all the stress of Christmas, and the Christmas hasn't even started yet, and there are some people that can't even wait for it to finish. And you're stressing out because of all the gifts you have to buy for people. You're stressing out because you know there are certain people that are going to visit you these holiday seasons and be at your house that you may not even like, but you have to pretend to like because it's Christmas. That's pretty stressful, right? There's all this stress during the holidays, and some of you even carry this stress because the holidays is a reminder of a good time that's no longer around in your life. It's a reminder of a family members that aren't around anymore because they've passed on. It's a reminder to you of the childhood you used to have. And it's a reminder. It's sometimes the memory of your old Christmas. It saddens you. Christmas is one of the seasons that has the highest suicide rates in America. There's something about Christmas that leaves us sad and stressful. We say, well, Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy and peace and love, but that's not the case for everyone. In fact, when you think about the first Christmas, this Christmas story, it had more stress than anything else. I mean, the first Christmas with Mary and Joseph, it had murder, it had divorce, it had all this. They had no room to go into the inn. They had no place to stay. They had no idea what God was doing. Christmas was all about stress for Mary and Joseph. So if you're here today and you're saying, God, I'm under a lot of stress, not only is that normal, that's also okay. The fact that you're stressed doesn't mean you've lost faith. The fact that you're stressed doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian. Stress is normal. You can't avoid it. See, stress can be so damaging to us. You know that because of the stress in your life, you can easily become angry. You can shout out and rage at people because of the stress you're under and take it out on others. Stress can leave you under severe depression, worry, anxiety, distraction, headache, loss of sleep, loss of appetite. Stress is a leading factor for weight gain as well. Some of you look pretty stressed today. I'm just kidding. Whatever it is in your life that has you stressed, stress is normal, can't avoid it, but is also very damaging. So when it talks about stress, I'm here to tell you this morning, don't stress it. You're trying to think, well, Pastor, that's so easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my problems. We all have problems. You know, I'm under a lot of stress right now. Someone told me today, hey, you have more gray hair than last week. And that stressed me out. Here's a big lie that we believe. We often think that stress is a result of what's happening on the outside. And that's not true. The stress that you feel is actually being caused on the inside as a result of what you're experiencing on the outside. So on the outside, yes, you're dealing with stress because of work, because of kids, because of money, because of family, because of sickness. Yes, on the outside, there's a lot of things going on, but because of what's happening on the outside, therefore now the stress has gone into the inside, and that's where the damage is taking place. The truth is, we can't control the stress in your life. You cannot control what happens on the outside of your life. I can't control what people do. I can't control what people say. I can't control the circumstances around me on the outside. But I can learn to control the stress and manage it right on the inside. The problem is not stress. Stress is not the problem. It's the wrong management of stress that's causing so much friction in the lives of people, and chaos and divorce and panic and anxiety is all a result of not what people are going through on the outside, but because they don't know how to handle the stress and they handle it wrong on the inside. So I'm asking you today, is it possible for you right now to leave this church service and never stress it again? Yes, it is. And I'm going to teach you how. But I want you to think about for a moment what your it is. Say it with me, it. What is it that stresses you out? What's your it? You're thinking about it right now. Don't stress it. Whatever it is. Some of you say, it is driving me crazy. I can't sleep because of it. It is unfair. Hear that all the time. Pastor, I don't understand it. It will never change. It will never get better. I can't handle it anymore. Pastor, I can't forgive it. It's getting bad. Can God change it? Can God fix it? Can God really use it for my good? Yeah. What is your it? Well, it is my job. It is my financial crisis. It is my relationship and the lack of it, or the breakup or divorce, whatever it is. It could be your children. It could be your pastor. It could be your church. At least that's what my it is. It is just damaging you. Are you guys thinking about your it right now? What is it? See, all of us, I believe, have an it in our lives. To me, it represents that thing, that person, that problem that has you stress. And throughout the week, it is just attacking you. So how do you handle it? It angers me sometimes, I'll be honest with you, when I tell someone my problems and they just say to me, don't stress it. And today I'm here telling you, don't stress it. But the reality is it possible to live with it? Have it in your life every day. Have it never change. Have it get worse. And still be in a place in your life where you don't stress it. I know it's possible because God says do not be anxious about anything. And if God tells me do not do this, it's because whatever it is He's telling me not to do, it's possible for me not to do. So therefore, if God says do not be anxious about anything, I know now there's a possibility in my life I can live free from anxiety and stress. So can I live a life where I say, I'm not going to stress it anymore? It's possible. Want to know how? This isn't one of those messages, just trust God and have faith. I'm going to give you some steps. You guys ready for this? Because y'all look stressed right now. You came in here stressed. You may leave here stressed, but it won't be my fault. Because I'm going to tell you how to handle this. See, here's when I was reading this story this week. I read about Tabitha. She was a disciple, meaning that she was a Christ follower. She gave her life to Jesus. She was obviously in the ministry. She loved people. The Bible says that she was kind. She was admired. The Bible says that she had a lot of good deeds. She was a good person. And that's hard to come by nowadays. But Tabitha, the Bible says, was a good, kind-hearted, loved person who happened to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says she got sick. And then the Bible says she died. Can I tell you that those are those moments in the Bible that make no sense to me? It's when I read stories like that, that I think, God, here's a woman who loves you, who's following you, who's doing the best to please you. She's kind, she's compassionate, she's loving, and you give her a sickness that's never healed, and she actually dies? Is it not here that God makes no sense? Isn't it in this place in our lives that we ask God, why do bad things happen to good people? Think about how many people in our lives today are saying this makes no sense. It makes no sense when a good person dies. It makes no sense when a good person gets sick. It makes no sense when a good, God-fearing person suffers. But the reality is it may not make sense to you or I, but it happens. And maybe you're in this place right now, you're thinking, I don't understand why God is doing this in my life. I can think of a lot of other people that deserve more than what I'm going through. I love God, Pastor. I go to church. I pray. I tithe. I'm a believer. I'm a follower. And yet God has allowed me to lose my family, my job, get sick, go through this, go through that. I don't understand it. God makes no sense here. See, I thought about people like in the Bible, a man named Job. And Job was a righteous man. God said, this is a righteous man. And we know that the devil attacked his life. And the only reason the devil attacked his life is because God allowed him to. I mean, God threw Job literally under the bus. The devil and God were having a conversation. And he's like, man, I've been going through earth looking for people to destroy and mess up. And God was the one that said, hey, have you thought about Job? Have you thought about him? He's pretty awesome. He's righteous. He's a God-fearing man. Why don't you go and attack him? Thanks, God. And it's like in one day, Job's life is perfect. He's getting ready for the holidays. He loves his life. He has a great business, a great marriage, children, everything. And it's like in one day, everything was gone. I mean, have you read this? The Bible says that a storm came in. All of a sudden, a storm came in and all of his children died. So Job is having to be in a funeral service of his own children, 10 of them. It's hard when God takes one child from a parent. Imagine all 10 of your kids are gone. And on top of that, when he comes home from the funeral service, the doctor calls and says, hey, Job, you're sick. And now he has a sickness in his body. And he says, well, that's not a problem. I think I can go through this. And then he finds out that he lost all his cattle. He lost his business, his job. So now he can stress, I'm sick, my children are gone, how am I going to pay these bills? I don't know what I'm going to do. That's stress. His wife comes to him and says, why don't you do us all a favor and die? That's called marriage problems, when your wife wants you dead. Things are going bad. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Job had a lot of stress in his life. Job had a lot going on in his life. But notice what he says here. Though he what? Though he what? Slay me. Job described his situation like God killing him. I wonder how many situations are you going through right now that you're saying, God, you're killing me right now. This is killing me right now. I can't handle it. It is killing me. But notice what Job says. He says, though you slay me. So he's saying, God, it killed me when you took my children. It killed me when you took my job. It killed me when you allowed me to suffer all of this. And even though right now it feels like you're killing me, even so, I will defend my own ways before him. You know what he said here? I'll trust you. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. See, I wonder how many of you are going through it right now. How many of you are going through something that's killing you inside? Could you say right now, even though I'm going through this, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to confide in you. Think about that. You see, some of you are here right now. You're saying, I need to know why God is allowing this in my life. In fact, Job, being human, said, God, why did you do this in my life? Why did you allow me to suffer this? Why did you allow me to go through this? And God never answered him. God never told Job, listen, Job, the thing is that the devil and I were having a conversation and he asked me to slay you. No, you know what? God said, Job, you don't need to know. What you do need to know is that I'm awesome. Were you there when I created the universe, he says? Were you there when I put the universe and the heavens and the earth together? You know, sometimes, rather than asking God why, you just need to declare that he's awesome, that he's sovereign, and he knows what he's doing. You may not know. But see, right there, God just says, you don't need to know. There's a lot of things in your life right now, you want to know why. God may not ever tell you why. Does it matter? Of course not. Because what you need to know is that you can trust God. So I want to ask you this question. Can you trust God? What's the answer? Yes. If you ask that in a general sense, you say, hey, can you trust God? Most people would say, absolutely. But I want to ask you differently. Can you trust God? Can you personally, whatever you're going through, whoever you are, can you trust Him? You don't need to know why God did it. You don't need to know why God allowed it. You don't need to understand what good was it. You just need to know that right now, whoever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever has happened, you can trust God. Therefore, you don't have to stress it. In fact, when you think about this, Tabitha died. The Bible says that the people put her in the upper room. So I want you to think about this for a moment, because in the Bible, houses were two stories high. And on one floor is where all the people gathered, is where all the people fellowship, and it's where they ate dinner, that's where everyone was at. But on the upper room, those were the private rooms. What I love about this is the Bible says they put Tabitha, her body, in the upper private room. So I want to ask you this question. I want you to pretend for a moment right now, your life is like a house. And everyone goes into your house right now. And there's a part of the house that everyone can see. It's the part of the house you keep clean. It's the part of a house you keep organized and nice. I don't want to ask you about that room. I want to ask you today, what's in your upper room? What is it that you have in your life right now that's hopeless? That's dead. What is it right now that you're saying, God, I don't understand it? As I read this passage in the Bible says there were two types of people in that house. Verse 38 and verse 39. Let me read that one more time. Verse 38 and verse 39. The Bible says that Lydia was near Hopa. And the disciples, that's the first group of people, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to get him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Verse 39. The Bible says then, Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping. So the two types of people that were in that room were disciples and widows. Now, it's hard what I'm telling you right now. Because a lot of you right now, you're going through it. And it's driving you crazy. And it has you up at night. It makes you cry. It makes you question God. It may make you lose your faith. And I'm telling you right now to trust God. That might annoy you right now. That might even anger you. I understand that. What does it mean when we say trust God? What does that even look like? See, there are two types of people in that house, just like there are two types of people that handle stress. The first one are the widows. And see if you can identify as a widow. The widows were in that room. All they did was cry. Do you find yourself doing nothing but cry about your problems? Complaining about what you're going through? The Bible says that as Peter got to the house, they didn't tell Peter, pray for her, try to raise her from the dead, do something. No, they just grabbed Tabitha's clothes and said, look, Peter, look what she made. Look what she did. See, a lot of you, you stay in it because all you seem to do is cry about it and stay stuck in your past. That's what a widow did. All the widows did was cry and remember the past. And some of you, you're putting yourself into a state of depression, remembering only the good days in your past. It's no wonder you stay stuck. Because right now, all you seem to do is just cry about it. You cry about it. You complain about it. You get sad because of it. And all you seem to do is stay stuck in your past. You know what makes the holiday so hard? Is remembering the past. You know, this week, this morning, I found my mom crying in the living room. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, today's my dad's birthday, who passed away and is with the Lord now. And she said, you know what she said after that? And it's so hard during Christmas. Because he loved Christmas. In fact, this week, I was in my grandfather's house doing something in there. And as I walked around the house instantly during this season, I remember every season of Christmas we spent there. And I remember the pork that he would make. I remember all my cousins together. I remember the Christmas lights he kept all year round, never put them down. But he would just fix the light bulbs that went bad throughout the year. I was remembering all the Christmases. I remember the fights during Christmas. I remember the good times, the bad times. I remember my grandmother making the food. Everything was a memory. You know why it was so sad to remember that? Because as I walked through that same house, those Christmas lights were now dangling from the roof, broken, all of them, and some were even on the floor, shattered. I looked at the barbecue pit my grandfather built where he used to make that very pork, and it's now demolished. Some of the seats are still there that we used to sit in, and now they're just rusted and falling apart. Everything has just been destroyed. You know why it's so sad? Because memories make us sad. And that's why you're so down this season. Because God has given you this amazing gift of memory. So you can remember the good times. But don't let the good times and the reminder of that be the reason today you're having a bad time. Some of you are widows right now. There's something in your life you used to love that's no longer around. And here's your choice. You can live this for the rest of the life that God has given you. Being sad about it. Crying about it. Complaining about it. Questioning God about it. Telling God it's not fair. I don't deserve it. You see, those widows were not the reason Tabitha rose from the dead. If you want your situation to remain dead, be a widow. Just live the rest of your life crying, discouraged, depressed, feeling sorry for yourself. The second Peter walked into that house, it should have been a time those widows said, Peter, go up there now and do something about it. Some of you are crying over something you don't want to do anything about. But you're so easy to cry about it. You cry over your addictions, but you can do something about it. You cry over a situation you're in, but you can change it. But see, Peter walks into this house, and rather than these widows say, Peter, go up there, do something, change it, fix it, pray, do something, please, Peter. They just quickly came to Peter just to talk about Tabitha. And that's what a widow does. Widows just cry and complain and get discouraged about it. And also, all they seem to want to do is talk to people about how bad their life is. Look through social media, and people just rant on how bad life is. But see, doing all of that will do nothing to fix your life. So here's your choice. I can sit here right now and just stress it, cry about it, complain about it, lose sleep because of it. Or I can be now the other person in the room, not the widow, but the Bible says in that room there were disciples. And the disciples said, listen, Peter is in town. Now, I can join the widows and cry and complain and question God and just be depressed and discouraged, or I can do something to fix this. What is it in your life right now you know you're complaining about, but you also know you can do something to fix it right now? But you know why you don't? Because it's a lot easier to be a widow and just cry and complain about it. Merry Christmas, guys. Disciples said, listen, I can join you in the widowing process. I can join you and just cry and remember and be sad and ask God why. But you know what? I'm not going to waste my time doing that. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do something. So they frantically went out there looking for Peter. They got Peter. Hey, get over here now. Don't delay. Why? Because a lot of you, you're staying in the same situation because you procrastinate. They told Peter, come now. Do it now. Don't delay. Some of you, I'll do it next year. How many things that you promised yourself last year that you would do this year, you're saying now you'll do next year? Don't delay. The disciples said, listen, we got to do something now. Ask yourself, what can I do about it? Can I fix it? If there's anything you can do about it, you have to do it, because God will not do what you can do for yourself. God is a God of miracles. Miracles are when you have no other option, everything's closed, you can't do anything. But if there's something you can do about it right now, why are you delaying? You can fix it right now with your children. Why are you delaying it? You can fix something about your marriage. Why are you delaying it? You can do something about your finances. Why are you delaying it? It's Christmas. I got gifts. No, you don't. Can you fix it? Because you can go next year, 2019, being a widow again. Or you can say, this is the year. I'm not going to wait till 2019. I'm going to do it right now. And I'm going to do something about it. Whatever it is, if you can do something about it, God won't do it for you. They went out and looked for Peter. They went out and said, don't you delay. What can you do about it? See, widows are lazy crybabies. Disciples, they're going through the same thing you're going through. Those disciples loved her as well. They loved Tabitha. Tabitha was their friend too. See, you're not the only one going through what you're going through. The only difference is, and what sets you apart, is you want to sit here and cry about it, but that same person that's going through what you're going through did something about it. Who are you right now? Are you going to sit through life being a widow? Do nothing but cry? Or are you going to sit here and say, I can do something about this? And they went to go get Peter. That's your choice. I love what the disciples did here, though. I know my church. Some of you right now, you're like, oh, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm leaving this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to call them, break up with them. I'm doing it. I'm going to not buy those shoes this year. I'm going to save that money. I'm doing it. I'm going to get myself out of debt. Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to do it. I'm fixing this marriage, like it or not. We are not getting a divorce. We're doing this. Yeah. Awesome. But wait. Because the disciples, before they went out, all encouraged. Because see, this is the David version of the Bible now, right? You guys ready? So Tabitha dies and they're all crying. All of them are crying. I believe the disciples are crying too. They're like, oh man, this is sad. Man, why did God do this? She was so awesome. I don't understand it. And all the widows are like, and look at what she made. Look at her clothes. And then the disciples are there crying too. Oh my God. Oh. And one of them are like, wait a minute. Peter's in town. Peter has a reputation of raising the dead. The Bible says even his shadow raised the dead. He's in town. And the disciples started talking. Hey, wipe those tears off. What? We could do something about this. Really? Yeah, Peter's in town. Man, we can go get him. He can come back. He can pray and raise her. The widows are like, that's crazy. Don't put my hopes up. Let her die in peace. But the disciples got up and said, listen, let's go get her. Let's do something about it. But before they went to go get him, what I don't like about this scripture is that the disciples got her body and washed it. And the only reason you would wash a body is to prepare it for the grave. And here's how this story is falsely taught in the church. If you believe that he's going to raise him, why did you prepare for death? I used to think that. But you see, you could have faith that never gives you an excuse to be stupid. Don't go in faith and take out a loan you know you can't pay for. Don't go in faith and marry a non-Christian you know is going to break your heart. But I have faith God can change. Yeah, but faith never means stupid. You know what they did? They said, let's prepare her for the grave. And let's go get Peter to pray for a resurrection. And it broke my heart because I realized what the Lord was telling me to tell this church. You need to believe that God can fix it right now. God can change it right now. God can make it better. But you also have to prepare for God to say no to it. For God to let it die. For God to close the door. Oh, I don't like this part of the sermon. It happens. God says no all the time. So I believe that the disciples said, we're believing for a resurrection, but just in case that's not God's will, let's be prepared for death and a burial. Because God says no. Can you trust God? See, we love God when he says yes. When he says yes to the job, the opportunities, the marriage, the kids, and he says yes. You're like, yes, 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 yes. What about when you say, Lord, what about the job, the marriage, the kids, the promotion, the this, the house, the this? And God says, no. Is God still God in the no, just as he was God in the yes? But why do you live like it's just no? Daniel 3:17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, they were going into the furnace. And these guys had faith. They said, man, we're all tied up, but we know, notice. And that is the case. Because they wanted them to bow down to their God. He said, we're not doing it. Yo, I'll throw you in the furnace. Do it. Because he said, the God who we serve, he's able to deliver us. Amen? Yeah, he's able. He's able. Oh, yeah, he's able. But notice what they said. He's able to deliver us from this burning furnace right now. He'll deliver us from your hand. That's faith talking. And now verse 18 is reality talking. But if what? Not. You know what they said? Listen. We believe right now God can get us out of this furnace. He can shut this down. He can deliver us. He can loosen us. He can set us free. Just like you're saying right now, God can get you out of debt. He can heal you. He can restore you. He can fix your home, your family, your marriage. He can, he can, he can. But we can't sit here and lie as though he will. Because they said, if not... if not, let it be known that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold images. You know what they said? I believe God can get me out of this. But I also believe God can say no. Do you believe God can fix it? Yes. Can God change it? Yes. Can God make it better? Can God make it go away? Can God replace it? Absolutely. But we also, like the disciples, have to be prepared for the no that God will tell you in this lifetime. It's like David in the Bible prayed for his son to be healed. Lord, heal him. Heal him, God. Please heal him. David believed that God can heal him, but then the answer was no. And God took his baby boy away. And David got up, wiped his tear, he washed his face, and went about his business. Because God said no, but David could handle that. There's a lot of people in church today, for some known, I don't even know why, we seem to be completely falling apart when God tells us, no, I will not heal you. I will not heal you of this cancer. I will not. I will not give you a child. You're going to stay barren. I will not give you a spouse. You're going to stay single. Don't say that, pastor. It might happen. Are you preparing for that grave? No, Lord forgive me, some moron, let me tell you, he's talking to me, he said, pastor, I have faith that God's going to bring me a wife, right? You know what he's doing? He's saving up money for a future wedding ring with a girl he doesn't even have met yet. And in my mind, I'm saying, man, that's a boat right now. I can buy a boat with that money. I can go on vacation with, I could do it. Man, what? You know why? Because some of us think if I have faith, it's going to be yes. Let me tell you, there's no ring in my pocket. I got me a boat. I'm saving up for another one. Why? I'm prepared for the grave, but I believe for a miracle. That's my message. That should have been the title. Believe in miracles. The miracle of Christmas. But are you also prepared for the grave? Saying, pastor, what if God doesn't do it? Here's your answer. He's still God. What if the answer is no? You know how much stress you have because of maybe, what if, and God says no? You don't think that if God says no, he has a good reason? Well, I don't understand it. You don't have to. Are you prepared like the disciples to see God do a miracle? Do you believe with faith? Yes. But don't be dumb either. And prepare for the grave. So are you going to be a widow? Cry about it? Complain about it? Or are you going to trust God for it, believe God for it, knowing God can fix it, but Lord, if you don't fix it, I can handle it. Here's the proof. I want to wash this body real good. Because if you say no, I'll just bury her right now. And move on. Some of you, in Jesus' name, I love you. The answer is no. Get over it. Bury it. And move on to what God's yes is going to be. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, hey, we believe God can get us out of this fire. But we also know he might not. That's a person that says, I believe in God during the yes and the no. Let me close with this. Saying, pastor, I'm stressed. I'm stressed about it. And it is driving me crazy. I'm losing my faith because of it. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. Maybe right now God is saying, listen, you came into this church a widow. But I want you to leave here a disciple. Trust, do something about it. But if there's nothing you can do about it, then don't stress it. And just trust God. If you can do something, do it. The disciples said, let's go get Peter because we can.
Let's bring them back over here because we can. Let's trust them to pray for a resurrection because we can. But there are some things we can't do, and that's raise her from the dead. So we're going to trust God that He can do it. But if He doesn't, Tabitha, I'm sorry, girl, but you're going 6 feet under. And I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. When you say yes, or if you say no, bury it. That's why you can have peace in any season in your life. Because you know God is a God of yes and God is a God of no. And whether it's yes, whether it's no, God is still a God that who's God. So don't stress it. Tell your neighbor right now, don't stress it, you widow. You whiny little widow. Do something about it. But I can't. Good. And let God do it. So Peter, right? Let me give you three quick steps. Peter goes to the room. And I love this. Verse 40. He says, he goes up. Peter, he put them all out. Not like death, you know, like I'll catch you out. No. He got all the widows out. I don't want no negative widows here. Get out. Get out. So he got alone. Sometimes you need to get alone with God. You know what he did? Nothing. Just knelt. Yeah, you don't see this because I don't know, you're not a pastor, I don't know, whatever, but this is Tabitha right here. This is Tabitha right here. It. And Peter, he rushes to the room. And there it is. The reason everyone's crying, the reason everyone's sad and frantic and anxious, there it is. And Peter's like, what do you want me to do with it? It's dead, bro. What do you want me to do? And everyone's like, he's like, get out! I need to be alone with God right now. You know what Peter does? Nothing! Stop trying to fix it! Stop trying to change it! It belongs to God! And he says, he's there and he says, okay, what am I gonna do? Man, this is bad. She dead. All right, get out, everyone. I need to be alone with God. I need to be alone. Sometimes you don't even remember what it is to be alone with God. He looks at it. He didn't do that yet. The Bible says, Peter, he got them all out. Prayed. It's not what he prayed, how he prayed, it's where he prayed. Turning to the what? You know what the Lord spoke in my heart there? David, tell the church that I entrusted you with, but face it. He turns and he faces it. The reason some people stay stuck is you don't want to face it because you keep denying it. You keep trying to cover it, lying to yourself about it. The Bible says that Peter didn't ignore it. He didn't hide it. He didn't deny it. He looked and faced it and said, man, she is really dead. He faced it. And I'm going to tell you with love, you need to face it already. It happens. Face it. Face it. And stop denying it. No, it's going to get better. I know. Don't deny it. Face it. You're sick. Face it. You're divorced. Face it. You're addicted. Face it. You're not the best parent. Face it. You made some bad decisions. Face it. You've done some terrible things. Face it. Real change happens when you confront and face what's dead. He faces it and says, God, I can't do anything about this. Oh, this is a God thing. Okay. On his knees. Why? Why the knees? Why not? Why not just sit by the bed? Hey, girl, you dead? Why not stand by the body? Why not, like Peter did once, he laid on top of a dead body and the warmth of his body raised her. He said, no, I can't do that this time. I can't do anything about it, God. But Peter knew what he can't fix, he needs to surrender. He gets on his knees as an act of humility and surrender, saying, God, I'm under you. God, I'm facing it right now and I can do nothing about it. And he gets down and surrenders. You know what God wants you to do today? Not only does God wants you to face it, he wants you to surrender it already so that God can fix and change it and handle it. God cannot handle what you don't surrender. That's why Psalm 46:10, God says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted. You know what I hate about this verse? How we lie to ourselves and think, being still means do nothing. That's not what that means. That word still is a Hebrew word, rapha, that literally translates to let go and surrender. You know what God says here? Hey, let it go. How many things is God telling you right now? Let it go. Surrender it. Why, God, should I? Because you should know something. What? Know that I am God and I will be exalted. I don't lose. Well, surrender it. Hey, today, is God telling you to let it go? Whoever it is, whatever it is, let it go. Surrender. But it takes great humility to get on your knees. Because when you get on your knees, you're telling God, I need you. And prideful people can't do that. But a real person, a real man or woman of God says, Lord, I can't do it. Peter gets on his knees and surrenders it. And the Bible says that she rose. And because of what she went through, many people believed in the power of Jesus Christ. Tabitha didn't realize that God allowed her to get sick and die because he was going to use it for a testimony to raise someone else from the dead, a spiritual death. You know why God has you going through what you're going through? Because you're going to be the best testimony ever. Ever. So why don't you want to die a little? If God's going to use it, because the Bible says that God works all things for good for those who love him. So when you face it and surrender it, God will use it. That's why I love this church. I have so many messed up people here. I said, man, when God is done raising you, you're going to be the best testimony ever. Think about how many people you're going to help with what you've gone through. I know years from now when I'm old and gray-ish, I know maybe I can talk to some young pastor that right now is not even born yet. I'm going to say, man, I've been there, done it, suffered, cried. I've been a widow. But I can use it to help someone. You know, when my mom went through cancer, I said, man, God, why? But yeah, I look back now and I said, man, she's using it to help someone else. So whatever you've gone through, bad or good, because even because of your own choices, you know that God can use it? Well, it's not a waste. Right now, Merry Christmas, by the way. You're saying, Pastor, you mean to tell me I don't have to stress it? No. Stress is for those that don't know God. See, God will put you through tension, but tension is not stress. Tension builds character. So understand that whatever it might be right now in your life, know that God is God. That's why he said, be still and know. What do you know right now? I know that I'm broke. I know that the bills are not, need to be paid. I know that my kids don't like me right now. They actually hate me, don't want nothing to do with me. I know right now I'm about to lose my job. I know I'm sick. I know this. I know that. No, okay, that's what you're going through on the outside. But what do you know on the inside? Well, I know that God is God. And I know he will be exalted. And I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know he'll supply all my needs according to his riches. I know as far as the east is from the west, he loves me. I know. So let it go. Come on, stand with your feet today. You came to this church, you're stressing it right now. I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is your time with God. Why don't you man up and surrender? You can't do anything about it anymore. So if you're here today, you're saying, God, I'm stressing it. It is the reason I have lost faith. It is the reason I'm depressed. It is the reason I'm discouraged. It is the reason that I suffer. Lord, I'm a widow. I cry a lot, complain a lot. Remember only the good. Question you in the bad. It's time for you to face it. What is God telling you right now? Face it. And once you face it, God says, hey, let it go. Surrender it. Because if you face it and surrender it, I'll use it. You can leave here a widow. Cry and complain, or you can leave here a disciple. Do something about it. But there comes a point you're saying, God, I can't do anything about it. That's great. That means it's God's responsibility. We'll surrender it. Well, if you're here this morning, I never want to leave you without the opportunity of surrendering, first of all, your life to Jesus Christ. What's the point of God fixing your earthly life if your eternal life is headed for destruction? Before God can fix it, before God can use it, there's something you need to face first. Face it, like I did, like all of us did who know Jesus. You're a sinner. Face it. You've sinned. The Bible says you've fallen short of God's glory. But the Bible says that God so loved you that he died on the cross for your sins. Whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. All God says is surrender it. Surrender your life to me. And I will pay for all those sins you have done and will do. You need to face it right now. Face it. God loves you right now. Face it. Nothing you did in your past changes that. Face it. Face it. You're a sinner who needs repentance, who needs Jesus. My question to you is, Will you now surrender? I want to give you this opportunity to come forward and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you're also here today and you're saying, Pastor, I've surrendered my life to Jesus. I know that I'm a disciple. I know that I'm a born-again believer, but Lord also knows that I'm stressed. There's a lot of it in my life. And I came to this church discouraged because of it, mad because of it, sad because of it. I cry about it. I complain about it. It drives me crazy. It is not fair. I don't understand it. It is not something I want in my life anymore. Right now, today, in Jesus' name, I declare you can live a life free from stress. Not tension, but stress. You can manage it right by knowing that right now, whatever it belongs to God. You can get on your knees today and say, Lord, I surrender it. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything in prayer, surrender it to God. And the Bible promises the peace of God will guard your heart and your emotions. So as the worship team closes today, if you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus, I invite you to come forward now. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm here in the altar today because I need to surrender it to the Lord, then you get up here and you just get alone with God and I want to pray with you. But today I pray that now you let it go and surrender. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this service. And I pray right now, Lord, that the altar be opened. For those who want to receive you, for those, Lord, who are following you right now, but they're under stress and they can't take it anymore. Father, we're just going to surrender it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You come forward right now. I want to pray with you. Let's pray together as a church today if you're here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today's message. Father, there are people here right now that are in it. They're going through it. And you're scared of it. Father, we know that whatever it is, you're sovereign, you are God, you're in control. So I pray in Jesus' name that we no longer stress it, no longer lose sleep over it, peace over it. But I pray for your divine will and power, Lord, over this. Lord, if the answer is no and we have to bury it, we trust you. But if the answer is yes, we still give you the glory, Father, because you are a God of miracles. So I pray in Jesus' name today that you face it, surrender it, and let God use it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give him a shout of praise today. We were blessed.